it not only coordinates but motivates.
Yeah,
but it is very difficult because now we talk about words, but to understand the characteristic is difficult.
When we say that it urges the other chetasikas to perform or put in action, so it can perform its function at any time, even when it's vipaka, because there are other chetasikas arising with it.
So what's the difference between kusla and kriya?
Kusla will bring result, it will condition the vipaka. Kriya cannot condition vipaka.
Yes, that's bad. But in terms of the chetasikas that form part of it,
Akusala, all jetasikas, akusala,
mahakusala and kriya chittas of the arahata.
Since chitta and jetasikas are kusala, it will condition vipaka when time comes.
Right, but in the kriya chittas of the arahata,
kriya chitta does not condition any vipaka at all.
But doesn't the
chetana that
also
moment, just the jetasikas which arise with jetana, is that which urge, is that which is active, it's that which, like the head student, or I don't know in English,
the supervisor,
principal, or you have many students who is the head or the chief,
prefect.
Yeah,
head boy.
Head boy, head girl. Yeah.
But I'd like to repeat a question that we had on the list about anusayas or latent tendencies. This morning in Thai we talked about latent tendencies, about impermanence, and someone on the list says there must be something that is staying there with that citta, that citta arises and falls away. And then the latent tendencies are carried on from one moment of citta to the next one. So the word carried on is not so very useful, because it seems like something which stays is carried on. And I have great trouble to explain it, that there is nothing that is the same. But you said it arises again, and that is possible. The dosa arises again.
And you have doubt just about anusya or all?
Actually all, also kusala and akusala.
If lopa, which has arisen, has fallen away completely, how can there be at the moment of lopa?
Because it is accumulated.
Where?
From mambo in the citta only. Yeah.
So that's the
not
answer.
Not outside the citta.
Yeah.
But the people will say then something is staying with the citta, and they fall over that. They say that's not possible because everything is impermanent.
Citta is not permanent, jetasika.
Not at all. Is there some change in the accumulated tendencies in that citta that falls away and then it conditions the next one? So it's on and on and on, but is there some change?
When one understands the characteristic of a citta,
yes,
can it be exactly the same?
Never.
Or never. That is by anusya and asya.
Yeah.
So that's the answer.
But can there be a change? Not the same, subject to change, what is accumulated, because it comes to the next citta and the next one.
Change from previous one.
Yeah, something.
And since
the
preceding one is conditioned by the previous one, it
yes.
has the same.
Sorry, what did you say then about the citta not being the same?
From one moment of last life to this moment of this life, exactly the same.
Because of the
accumulation.
Do you refer to anusyas as realities?
What is anusya then?
Well, it seems that sometimes in the text they define it as like a part, for example, lobha that's gone is anusya or is accumulated.
Otherwise it would be like arahata.
But at this particular moment the lobha that's gone is gone, so it's like past reality.
And what condition the next one? And how can that lobha go away? Otherwise the citta must be like arahata's citta.
Right. But at this moment, what's gone is gone. So it's like it's always past reality conditioning present reality.
Yeah. It's the question whether the citta of last life and citta of this life, is it the same?
Different. Mm-hmm. So past realities and present realities.
Condition the next one. And what is there, pass on to.
Yes.
For the arahat, there are kriya chittas, but also arahats have different talents,
mm-hmm.
abilities, mm-hmm. and that is by kriya chitta. Yeah. Yeah. They also accumulate.
Right.
Yeah.
If I put a grain of salt here, it's melted. Where is it?
Can't find it.
But it's there.
It's there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can taste it.
Yeah, and this is anusya. And added. Different ingredients you cannot see. You cannot say that there is none.
So we know for an arahant, no nusya, also no karma accumulated, but we can still talk about the tendencies being accumulated, the kriya chittas being accumulated.
Chetana is karma anywhere, no matter it is kusala vipaka, akusala or kriya. But the kriya chetana is not the same as the kusala kriya.
Yeah.
But chetana is chetana.
I want to ask something that I asked yesterday and it wasn't very clear to me. I was asking a question for somebody else, but it turned out I was asking it for myself, so I'm going to ask again. About the dominasa accumulating. Now, dominasa is unpleasant. I don't know if it's mental or bodily feeling, but it's unpleasant feeling. And that would only accumulate in the jhāvanacittas, like we say with dosa. But does the unpleasant feeling accumulate as well as, say, dosa or lopa or adosa amoha?
As long as there is dosa, there's still condition for unpleasant feeling.
Right. But can we say that that unpleasant feeling accumulates like the dosa accumulates? Would I, like we did the example of the salt in the water, could you say that about feeling as well?
What about the Vedana Khanda, Sanya Khanda, and Sankara Khanda? Are they the same or are they different?
Well, they are different, but they're all jetta-seekers.
Mm-hmm. Why one is Khanda, like Vedana Khanda, Sanya Khanda, and the rest are Sankara Khanda?
Because...
And when we talk about latent tendencies, we talk about kilesa, kusala and akusala.
So when we talk like this, then I would say that this dominasa doesn't accumulate in the sense that akusala, kusala does.
How many anusya are there?
I don't know.
Seven.
Lopa, dosa.
Well, it's clinging to sense desire, sensuous clinging.
Right.
And clinging to rebirth.
In order to remember it, let's think about the 12 akusala citta.
Ah, yes.
What are there in the lopa? Lopa?
Lopa?
As kama nusya, kamaraka nusya, because it's attached to sensuous object.
Yeah.
And not just sensuous object, it's also attached to hava raka nusya, attached to
rebirth
mm-hmm. or becoming, mm-hmm. yeah, two, and then Diti, Titanusya, and Mananusya, four, and Patikanusya.
That's
dosa.
Five. And then Vichikicca, and Avicca, seven.
And when you mentioned in the case of the arahant, there's no karma chetana in the sensories for us.
No kusala. No akusala chetana.
Vipaka
chetana and kriya chetana.
Yeah. When I asked about whether the kriya chetana is still accumulated, why would you be emphasizing the chetana for the arahat? Why did you mention
chetana? Someone asked me about chetana.
I see, because of the context. Not particularly chetana, but all
kriya chitta and jetasikas.
And sometimes, thinking with regard to Nancy's question, sometimes you say that without satchanyana, there can't even be any satipatthana developed without firm understanding of the teachings.
So, what is satchanyana?
very firm understanding about realities at this moment.
And so also about Satya, the Four Noble Truths.
And about the past. This is the past. This is the right past.
So that's the Fourth Noble Truth. So without listening to the Dharma, there can't be that kind of satyajnana or that firm confidence in the Four Noble Truths at all. So Satipatthana can't even begin to develop.
There is no understanding of reality right now. What's the use of hearing the teachings, of having awareness or whatever you think? It doesn't bring about the understanding of reality right now. And how can there be the understanding of next moment when there is the firm foundation of the satyajnana of this moment? So it's not begun yet. When there is no direct awareness with right understanding of the path. And the eradication of the idea of self is not easy task at all.
No, it feels like it's a long way away.
Because that must be the understanding of reality at any time, any level, when it comes to arise as it is.
Any level?
Any level.
What is the meaning of that? A higher...
Stronger.
Or
weak, loba, dosa, ignorance, whatever arises in a day. If there is no understanding at all in a day, tomorrow is the same, next day is the same.
This morning we were talking about misleading oneself all the time. Like we talked last time, that it is for yourself, and everything for yourself, and listening for yourself, and you don't notice it. And that's the worst thing.
It might be the worst thing, but it seems like it's...
That's what happens. It's always listening for oneself, or trying to have understanding for oneself.
Yes. And if we have no ajahn, no one reminds us.
Well, that was going to be my next thing. If you don't hear the teachings, like... Reminders for oneself. We talked that some of the conditions is hearing the Dhamma, having reminders, considering what one's heard. So I doubt that my own reminders are trustworthy.
And it also depends on one's own accumulation as well. It's not just hearing from the others. It depends on whether it's wise attention, wise consideration of what is heard.
This was something that came on DSG. It was something from Howard. And it was the first one on the list there. To me, it was very interesting because he gave a cause and effect way of thinking about several fallen practices, if you wish, how one affects the other. Can I just read it to you? He starts off, he says, Dhamma practice consists of a pariyatti-based, i.e. study-based, knowledge-based execution of the cultivation of sila, samadhi, and panya, morality, concentration, calm, and wisdom, understanding. Okay, that's different. Okay, but I like the way he linked it together. Each of these three aspects of Buddhist practice impacts and supports the other two, but most basically dependable morality creates a foundation of ease that serves as support for the concentrator and calming functions of meditation. And that strength and focus of calm serves as foundation for a growing clarity and mindfulness that leads to clear understanding of what actually occurs on any occasion. The thing that interests me about this whole quote was that he saw one of them, for instance, like sila, as building conditions for what we call samatha, and samatha building conditions, say, for the rising of wisdom.
So how do you see it?
I'm not sure, but from my own experience, when I was doing meditation years ago, I did find that when I did some other meditation, it did, to some extent, create conditions for more awareness. I like the idea of showing conditions. So this is not exactly a self.
A hidden self. So difficult to detect for all of us, really.
Right, but sila practice or, well, if you want to call it Sila, following Sila.
It can be very wide, yeah. The,
yeah, I mean, it's...
guiding of the sandstone.
Can Satipatthana be developed without any particular emphasis on the keeping of Sila or the development of Samatha, would you say?
I don't say they necessarily go in an order, but I could say that they occur with conditions and that they can influence further conditions for the rising of Satipatthana.
What are the most important conditions for development of Satipatthana?
I agree. The contemplating, reading, listening, speaking, all those.
Please be specific.
More direct understanding of this moment, and I like more that Ajahn is always emphasizing detachment. It seems here, I missed that here.
A detachment, but that's a result. That's not a
right from the beginning. And also, this very moment, we have to learn to understand. Otherwise, we are nowhere. This very moment, we have to understand more.
Kunsichin, usually we say there are two kinds of bhavana: development of samatha and development of satipatthana. But can bhavana also include moments of wise considering, listening, which aren't actually moments of satipatthana or samatha development? So any time there is right understanding, can this...
So what is bhavana?
Bhavana, mental development or development of right understanding.
Explaining the teachings, studying the teachings.
But it can also refer to the development of samatha, which, as we know, is not limited to the Buddha's teachings. So there was bhavana.
So what is bhavana? See, it's not just one moment. That is not bhavana, because one moment can arise from accumulation.
Right.
So when it's more by conditions, it's bhavana. And so what is bhavana when it's samatha? I think that when we read, we pay just not enough attention to any word we come across. For example, sila. How much we know about sila? What is sila? When citta is kusala, isn't it sila?
Yeah.
So sila is kusala moment, and it's the source or the foundation of all other kusala.
Right.
For example, dana, at moment of dana, is the sila, because citta is kusala by ways or by means of giving, not just only kusala.
Accumulation.
Yeah. See? So when there is right understanding at level of samatha, because citta is wholesome, whenever right understanding is that, there must be sila, because citta must be kusala. So we can know that all types of kusala is sila at different level. It doesn't mean that we have to have this.
Yeah, this leads to that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't happen at all.
So at moment of understanding, it is sila. We do not have wrong speech or wrong deeds, because citta is wholesome by way of accumulation of understanding from hearing and considering. So whenever there is panya, there is sila and samatha. No need to do extra or have extra moments of developing anything else. But there can be sila without samatha and without...
There can be what?
Sila without samatha and without panya.
Actually, this is a question someone did ask me or ask us to raise, and that is that although he recognizes the importance of developing panya above all else, he thinks that it sounds somewhat arrogant to say that one doesn't need to pay attention to kusala deeds and dana, sila, and so forth.
But what about kusala citta?
Yeah, exactly.
When citta is kusala, it is sila. Viruti jetasika at that moment.
Abstains.
Abstain from ill deeds and ill speech. So usually sila concerns speech and deeds, ordinary. But higher sila is there for moment of samatha and moment of satipatthana. Higher sila. So we talk about the sila sangvara, which is not just sila, which abstain from these through body and speech.